going to sing for us one more time this evening. Go ahead, folks.
I know you're going through a fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat, but even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you count the days of pain, but the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it will take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay.
Friend, I just came through that fire not too very long ago, and looking back I can see why, and that God was in control. But on the hottest days I cried, oh Lord, isn't it about time?
But the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it will take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay. He's planned a beautiful design, but it will take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay. It's gonna be
I've ever heard that song. What a message they were singing. My mind just started going back. Chaplain Dan Hall, his wife has lupus. So as he's trying to do the work as a chaplain, he goes through that with her. Chaplain Dan Owens' wife just finished chemotherapy treatments for breast cancer. He's going through the fire. You go through missionary Joshua Smith, just finished chemotherapy treatments with his young son. And tonight they're in Anchorage, Alaska. The Independent Baptist Church in Anchorage, Alaska, hoping to finish their support as a family. The doctor said the little boy wouldn't live. Gave him 25% chance to live. Right in the middle of that whole thing, Joshua said to his wife, Jennifer said, "Does this change our plans of going to Argentina?" She said, "What have you been preaching all this time? Is God big enough to take us to Argentina? Is he not?" Amen. We don't like them trials, do we? We sure don't. But I'll tell you what, folks, they're good for us. Take your Bibles, if you would, and find the book of Philippians. Let's go back there one more time. I was sitting there and wanted to go somewhere else tonight, and God kept saying no. So go back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want to thank you again for everything, the motel room, the wonderful meals, everything that's been put into this few days as we've been here. And we appreciate that. After we get done fellowshipping tonight, I'm going to head that silver streak towards the Holy Land. Amen. Well, y'all know what that is. It's West Virginia. Amen. Come on, smile at me. Amen. Somebody said, "I know why it's almost heaven, because it's next door to Ohio." I don't know about that. Amen. But my daughter-in-law said that was because it was next door to Kentucky. Amen. I don't know. But appreciate your prayers. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 10. Paul said this. He said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." Now watch the way he's talking here. "That now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now," he said, "that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And I know how," I know "both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And Paul begins to talk to the church of Philippi in chapter 4, and I think verse 10 is a very revealing verse. Notice verse number 10, verse number 9, I think, is really good. He said, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." And then he stops and he said, "I've said all that." He said, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last," he said, "your care of me hath flourished again." He begins to talk and he uses a word in that verse that I think is very intriguing. He said, "Your care of me." He didn't say your support came back. Evidently, when he later said that at the beginning of the gospel, he said, "No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, be ye only." Evidently, when he left out of Philippi to go preach the gospel, they got involved in his ministry. But somewhere in the process of time, it got away from them and they became lax in their responsibility and quit doing it. Now he says, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly at the last. Your care of me hath flourished again." It's come back. But the key word in there is, he said, "your care of me." Hey, folks, listen, I don't have time. I won't take the time. You go over into the Gospels and read the story of the man that went from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and the Bible said he fell among the thieves, and they beat him up and left him alongside the road, and you know, the priest came by and the Levite came by, and nobody wanted to do anything for him, but the Samaritan came by, and the Bible says he went over to him and he picked him up and he bound up his wounds, and the Bible says he took care of him. And he took him to the inn, and he said, the Bible says he took care of him, and he said to the innkeeper, he said, "Now, I gotta leave, but you take care of him." And he gave him money, and he said, "And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay thee." That's what Paul's talking about. That word care, we use it a lot in our lives. It's really become real again in my life. You know, when you go to the hospital, you have these nurses running back and forth, and they are providing care for you.
They are taking care of you. A wife or a mother, the wife takes care of her husband. And I like it when my wife spoils me. Amen. Listen, mothers and their children, and those children get sick, and through the night they will sit there and hold that child and wipe its brow and furnish its needs. It's providing care. See, Paul says now to the church, it's not just the support, it's not just the financial part of it, it's the fact that you care.
For a few minutes tonight, I want to answer this question, do we really care?
Folks, this ought to be real to this church. You have a missionary out of this church
that's been sent to the field out of this church. And the question is, as a church, do we care?
Watch what Paul begins to say here. There is one verse I want you to look at. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 for just a minute. Then we'll come back. You'll see this word care again. And you know, we kind of misquote verses once in a while and take them out of context. You go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and he uses that word care, and he says this in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse number 7, casting all your
what?
Upon him, for he careth for you. Now, you know, we quote that verse as casting all of our cares upon him. That Jesus is like a dump station for all of our problems. And let's just come down to an altar in prayer and dump all of our problems on the Lord, because He's there for that. And folks, He will help us in a time of need. But that verse says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. I mean, listen, when you watch a mother caring for a child, all of its attention is towards that child. All of its actions is directed towards that child. All of its affection is directed towards that child, because they are caring for that child. Hello? That's what he's saying, casting all of our care upon him, because he careth for you. Hey folks, there's no doubt in my mind that we have a Savior tonight that cares for us. Amen. And when we need love, He comes by and He loves us. Amen. And when we need some encouragement, He comes by and encourages us. Amen. Because He cares for us. But the question tonight is, do we care? Now go back to Philippians chapter 4 and watch the progression of Philippians chapter 4. I just love the way the Bible progresses. Paul makes that statement in chapter 4 and verse number 10. He said, your care of me hath flourished again. And then he says an interesting phrase at the end of verse 10. He said, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Can I just say one thing? You know why we have missions conferences? You know why the preacher has missionaries come by on a periodic basis? So you can get to know them and you can actually learn how to care for them. Amen? He gives you the opportunity. Now watch what the next verse says. Here becomes the key. Now here's where I usually get in trouble with this passage of Scripture. Paul then says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And Paul says, now, if you really care, there's going to be something that will happen. Paul said, I have learned in my life that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, again, you're talking about a man that has been beaten, and he said, I learned to be content with that. You're talking about a man that's been put in prison, and he said, I've learned to be content with that. He said, you're talking about a man that went through the different trials and tribulations in his life, but yet he learned to be content with that. And can I say to you tonight, folks, that that's the attitude that most people have in America about missionaries, and they're going to go over there, and they're going to go without some things, and they're going to suffer through some problems in their life, and we just expect them to be content with that. And their support goes up and down, and churches drop their support, and they have to tighten their belt, and we look at them, and we say, hey, be content with that. But can I tell you, I believe if I look at this thing right, when Paul said that, he's trying to say something to us. that we'll never learn to care for the needs of others till we come to a place of contentment in our life with where we're at and what's going on in our life, and get our eyes off of ourselves and start looking around and seeing the needs of others. Hello? Does the Bible not say godliness with contentment is great gain? Amen? You know why the average American works an extra job sometimes, or overtime, or the wives have to work? Because we're not content with the house we have. We're not content with the car we drive. We're not content with the clothes we have. We're never content with what we have or where we're at in our life. And so we never get past ourselves. Amen? Seen a teenager the other day with a shirt on and said, "It's all about me." And I've come to the conclusion that that epitaph could be written a lot across a lot of churches. It's all about them and what they want. And they've never become content with the situation to look up and see somebody else. Hello? We come to church that way, folks. We come to church with the attitude of, what can I get from church? Amen. And what's the preacher going to give me? And what does the church have to offer my kids? And so on and so forth. And we never get past what we need to see the needs of others. And if we're ever going to learn to really care, we've got to come to a place of contentment. Now, with that said, can I tell you that I'm never content with my prayer life? I need to pray more. Amen? I'm never content with my Bible reading because I need to study God's Word more. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in our lives that we have enough toys to play with. Amen? And we have enough gadgets in our life, and we've got enough clothes to wear, and we've got enough of what we need that we would stop and quit looking at us and start looking at others. Caring starts with contentment. I mean, Adriana was just here last couple of days. Have you just sat down and talked to them to understand some of the things they go through? How many people in this room would live in a compound that they live in, and that you can't, as mother of those children, take them out when you want to take them out? And you can't just run to Walmart when you want to run to Walmart. And it's just not safe for you to do that, let alone the fact that they're standing outside your door looking in the gate wondering what the white Americans are doing today. And when you go out, people are constantly looking at you, and they're walking up and touching your children and rubbing their faces wondering when the white will wear off and you'll look like us. Hello? And we say to them, well, that's what God called you to do, so be content with it. But what about us? Hello? We never, I'm not saying you particularly, but I'm talking about Christianity and churches as a whole. We're never content with where we're at, so we never get to see. You know why I know that's true? Because I've watched people come to church and church after church that I'm in. And you know, folks, we'll never know, I don't think, till we get to heaven. Some visitor shows up and you say, why did that visitor show up today? He may have just showed up, or she may have just showed up because she had a burden, or he had a burden, and there's something going on in his life. And he thought, maybe that's some place that I can get a little encouragement, get a little help. And they come in and they sit down, and people look at them like they got the plague and never extend a hand of fellowship to them, never reach out to them. And we're so consumed with what we're going to do, and the preacher preached till 12:15, and I'm going to miss the buffet line at the restaurant, and I got things to do. And that person walks in, walks out, and we never see the need that they have. And then you complicate that on a missionary's life because they're out of sight, out of mind. Hello? Boy, it always gets quiet when I read this verse. Go on. Now watch what he says then. And he talks about how he knows how to abound and abase and all those things. He knows how to be hungry and to be full. And he gives that great verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But look at this next phrase, and this is where I usually get to and get myself into hot water. He said, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my
affliction. Study that word communicate. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Look at what he says in verse number 6 of Galatians chapter 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. He said, let him that is taught in the word, preacher gets up here and teaches, and you're being taught in the word. Now let him that is taught in the word communicate unto who? Unto him that's doing the teaching, amen. Him that teacheth in all good things. See, that word communicate is not just a verbal thing. It is a lifestyle. It's more than just me saying to Brother Luther, man, that was a great message. It's me saying, seeing that he has a need, and I understand he has a need, and I communicate to that need. Amen? Y'all with me? Am I making sense? Hello? I mean, folks, listen, I never forget being in a missions conference a few years ago with Brother Bailey over at Savannah Hills Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And a young man, there's a family in that church that has five boys and a daughter. And all five of those boys and the daughter surrender to go to the mission field. The three of the oldest ones are already graduated from Bible college on deputation to go to the mission field. The younger two are in Bible college getting ready to go to the mission field. I'll never forget preaching. The youngest boy came to the altar and was praying at the altar. And I'm standing right there. And when he knelt down at the altar, the holes in the bottom of his shoes were this big around. And I said to Pastor Bailey, can they not afford to buy shoes? He said, brother, you got three kids in Bible college at that time, amen, trying to keep them three kids in Bible college, let alone the two getting ready to go to Bible college, and the two that were in high school were in Christian school. He said, so they got five kids they're paying education bills for. He said, it's a little hard. He said, those shoes he's got was probably handed down from his first brother. And I said to myself, God help me, I've got enough money in my pocket to buy the young man a pair of shoes. I said, you think it would offend a family if I'd offer to buy the young man a pair of shoes? He said, no, I don't think it would offend him. He said, I think it would thrill that young man that somebody understood what he was going through. I understand. I was the youngest son of three brothers. Amen. Everything I got was handed down to me. And that's pretty rough when your oldest brother's 6'5". Amen. Praise the Lord. My shirts never did come. They always went past my knees for years. Folks, listen. Trying to understand. Communicate to that. Understanding that. Hello? When missionaries come, don't just look at them like they got five eyes and horns coming out their head. But think about this family. And think about a young family with two young kids that are going to finish deputation in a few short months. Amen. Go to the mission field. And a daddy that's willing to send his son. It's not easy, is it, brother? Hello? Let alone a father willing to send a daughter. Amen? I don't know about you guys, but I had two boys and a girl. When the boys got 18, it's like, is it not time for you to leave? Amen. Get your own house. Pay your own bills. Get a job. Amen. That really wasn't that bad. But I'm going to tell you what, them girls. There's always, is there not, brother, always a protective instinct for girls that a father never gets over? I can take you and introduce you to a family sent four daughters to the mission field. Communicate with that. Try to understand that. One of the reasons I'm going to drive home tonight is my daughter's home. She said, Daddy, I'll be waiting on you. I'm going to go, amen? Because I don't get to see her but about three or four times a year. Try once every two or three years. See, once we get a little content in our life, We look up, and now all of a sudden we see the need of others. And then God says, communicate to that. Understand that in your life. Try to put yourself in that place. And then you'll begin to get a real burden on how to care for missionaries. Listen, I'll never forget Brother Ken Fullerton right down the road here when their daughter and son-in-law went to the mission field. And I knew they were on their way to the airport. We'd been in the services with them that Sunday, prayed with them. And then him and his wife took him to the airport to go to the mission field. And Ken called me on the way home, and he said, Brother Morrison, he was weeping. He said, the hardest thing I've done in my life. He said, they got to that airport, and their little grandson, Ashton, he was probably 4, maybe going on 5, and he'd been on deputation for 2 or 3 years. He thought this was just like deputation. I'm saying bye to Grandpa and Grandma, and we'll see them in 5 days, 6 days, maybe 2 weeks, we'll be back. He was just happy-go-lucky. They get to the airport, he's just saying, he didn't understand why Grandpa and Grandma was crying. He looked at Papa, and he said, hey. He said, what are you crying about, Grandpa? I'll see you in a week or so. He said, no, Ashton, you're not coming back for a year or two. And then it hit the little boy. This deputation stuff's over. We're going to the mission field. And he started crying in the middle of the airport, screaming, I don't want to go. And Bob just picked him up and carried him on the airplane as he left his mother and father-in-law standing there crying. And he called me from Dallas, Texas, still crying himself. They cried their way to the mission field. Communicate with that. They got ready to come home the other day, and they left Yucatan Peninsula and drove the whole way up out of Mexico in the climate that there is in Mexico right now with the drug cartel. With 2 young girls and that little boy. And I looked at him and said, don't ever do that again. Amen? Because I couldn't sleep for 2 or 3 days that I knew they was on the road. Because I just had visions of the drug cartel pulling that American over in a vehicle with those 2 precious girls. Communicate to that. Communicate to missionaries having their house broke in, being laid face down on the floor with a gun pointed to the back of their head as they ransack their house, not knowing if you're going to live. And I can tell you several missionaries have lived through that. And it's one thing to live through that, but what if that was your child? Hello? Paul said, you did well that you did communicate with my affliction. That you began to understand what I'm going through. Put yourself in that place. I told somebody one time, and I'll move on and try to finish this. I told somebody one time, I understand why now God took all of our children and moved them away from home. So we would understand. In some way, what pastors, preachers, and missionaries' families go through when they send their missionaries to the field. Communicate with that. And you'll learn how to care. Can I tell you, folks, about the time we learn to care, what's on this piece of paper don't mean nothing to us. Hello? I'm not saying that lightly. It means something, but it's not such a great task to perform. Amen? Can I be honest with you? I've come to this point in my life. I don't like driving late at night. I used to think it was fun when I was younger. Amen? I used to think it was fun to drive all night. Amen? Now my idea of late is 10 o'clock. Amen? By 10 o'clock, I've about done in. I've already just about laid out. I've usually got a book in my hand or something. Amen. I'm about done. Amen. But it's worth the drive tonight. Communicate with missionaries. What they're going through. I try to move on. Some of you look at me a little funny tonight. Amen. Now watch what happens. So he said, when you did communicate, see, the care comes from contentment. And when we get contentment, we learn to communicate. And when we learn to communicate, then he says in verse number 15, he said, now, you know, Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. And they began to make a contribution to their ministry. And can I tell you, folks, that this is the beginning of the contribution. Amen? When we get to a point of really caring about missionaries, this becomes the beginning of our contribution. I was talking about this morning. I tell you story after story. A missionary that we knew that was in Lafayette was from down in Mount Airy, North Carolina. He grew up back in there in the Mount Airy, North Carolina. And man, he said, we grew up eating cornbread and beans. Amen. He moved to Lafayette. They don't know what cornbread is. Amen. They don't know what cornmeal is. And I'd get over to get ready to go see him, and I'd call him. I said, hey, Brother Fred, what do you need? He said, preacher, you know what I need, amen. And I'd go to Walmart and buy a box of those Jiffy corn muffin mixes, amen. And I'd load up my suitcase with 25, 26 boxes of Jiffy corn muffin mixes, and I'd get over there and get off the airplane. He'd say, and I had places I like to eat because I like the food when you travel. And he'd say, preacher, if you don't mind, we'll go out to eat tomorrow. And I knew what that meant, amen. We're going home and eat Jiffy corn muffin, amen. That man get in there, fix them corn muffins. She's single then. I mean, put butter on them. The smile got so wide across his face, and the butter would run off his chin. Amen. And I'd sit there and just laugh. Amen. But you don't understand till you've seen it what they go through and the simple things they miss, like getting their hair done, ladies. My wife's a beautician by trade. She hadn't done it for 30 years, I mean, professionally. But whenever we go to the mission field, she'll call the missionaries ahead of time and say, look, if you want me to, I'll do your hair, give you a permanent. And you'll never know what it means to those missionaries' wives. Get fixed up for their husband one day. I don't know how many times she has done that, and I looked at the missionary and his wife said, look, we'll watch the kids tonight. You just go take your wife out tonight. Go do something. And now you begin to see. And when you begin to communicate, then you begin to make contributions. I'm going to say this and get in trouble. I have to stay that away. I wonder how many people in this church would stay at this church if you were in the hospital and nobody visited you. Or if you had a birthday and nobody said happy birthday to you. Hello? But yet missionaries live on the other side of the world and never get a birthday card, never have the chance to take their wife out for their anniversary. Am I right, preacher? You live there. Yet then they show back up at our churches after 3 or 4 years on the field, and we've supported them all these years, and we've read their prayer letters, and they show back up at our church, and we look at them, and we don't even half remember who they are. Hey, listen, I had a fellow call me the other day. He said, Brother Morrison, he called out the name of the church. He said, we stopped by there the other day. I said, yeah. He said, they support you. I said, yeah. He said, do you realize they still have on their missionary board the prayer card with all three of your kids on it? I ain't had a kid with me in 10 years. And that prayer card still says Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Now I wonder, how often have they prayed? I called one pastor when we made the changeover, and they supported us for 9 years. I called him up, sent the letter. I said, did you get the letter? Yes, sir. I said, what do you think? He said, I have one question for you. I said, what's that? He said, have we been supporting you? I said, 9 years. He said, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad we did. I'm thinking now, if he doesn't know, nobody else does. And we wonder why they quit. Because nobody cares. I don't think that's the... I hope it's not the case here. I've heard Matt and Adriana talk about things this church does for them.
But what about the rest of them back on that board? Do you know who their wives are, what their names are? My daughter, one of the things that brought me to this, my daughter called me today and she was telling me that yesterday she spoke at a ladies' meeting at the Alderson Baptist Church in Craigsville, West Virginia. We started deputation in 1994. Alderson Baptist Church was about the third or fourth church we were in. And they've been part of our missionary support for 16 years. And there's people in that church that have known us for 16 years. They met my family 16 years ago. And she said, Dad, she said, it's unbelievable. We walked in there. So then people start asking questions about me, want to know how Kiera was, want to know how my wife or my husband Ryan was, want to know how Tim was, want to know about Sarah and the kids. They knew everything about our family because they had been investing in our lives. That thrilled me because it shows they care. And the question we have to answer in our lives, do we care? Number one reason missionaries leave the field, and I'm done. Number one reason missionaries leave the field is loneliness and the isolation of being on the field. It's the number one reason. It's not the sacrifice they have to make by being on a foreign field. It's the loneliness and the isolation. And nobody's ministering to them. Somebody better start ministering to them. To care about them. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? Who's going to hold their hand, folks? When they call you and tell you that the police stopped their son who went to the bank to change your money so you could pay your bills, and the police stopped him because they knew he was an American, and if they could find it, he had money and they wanted it. Yet that young man grew up and is a missionary tonight because somebody cared about him. Do we care? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this week. Lord, tonight, my heart is we need to care for these missionaries. Lord, my heart gets burdened down some nights. I want to be so many places tonight, Father. Just to minister to missionaries. To let them know there's somebody that cares. God, help us all to care. Lord, we can start by caring for the people in this room. Caring for those you send by our way. Then may it radiate to the missionaries around the world. Lord, speak to our lives, please. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand our feet, heads bowed, and eyes are closed. Pastor will come.